2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we do thank you again for the day that you have blessed us with, Lord, bringing us to this moment, Lord, in the evening time where we can be gathered together. In the name of Jesus Christ, be gathered together, Lord, with your word being open, looking to you to speak to our hearts and guide us according to your will. Father, I ask that you have your hand of blessing upon the kid ventures, as the kids will, Lord, learn about the tabernacle and just the different pieces of the tabernacle and how it all relates to Jesus Christ in salvation and your forgiveness and a relationship with you. Father, I ask that you'd bless their time as they Lord, have that Bible time, and Lord, as they play the games and the crafts, whatever else they'll be doing. Father, would you bless our time, Lord? Thank you for the privilege, Lord, a place to be able to come and enter into in the middle of the week to get encouragement, direction from you as a body of believers, and obviously individually as a Christian living their life for the Lord. So, Father, we ask that you'd bless, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to talk about the building blocks of spiritual stability. The building blocks of spiritual stability. And it is the Lord's will that you and I would not only be stable in our Christian walk, in our spiritual growth, but always abounding. Because the verses we're going to look at, verses 5 through 7, are sandwiched between verses 3 and verses number 9, or rather verse number 8. Verse 3 says, according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And looking at verse number 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, verses 5 through 7 give us the building blocks to our faith, and these are the blocks that are to be continually and consistently used in building our life more into the image of Christ, the Holy Spirit obviously doing the work, but we yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit and to God's will. And God gives us some blocks here that we're to add to our faith. And looking at verse number 5, he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Speaking of faith, I want you to look at 1 John, if you would. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Because when you think about faith, obviously faith is our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you look at these, also when you look at these building blocks, it doesn't just stop when you get to verse number 7 and it talks about charity. Because then you're to repeat that process. You're to repeat building upon your faith, because when you add these building blocks to your spiritual stability and to your life, and you get to the building block of charity, the last one that's listed, then your faith has been built upon, your faith is being strengthened as it is being tested and stretched and tried by the Lord. But then we find ourselves loving more and more like Christ and having that unconditional sacrificial love, we find ourselves building again upon that faith that has been perfected through these building blocks by the Lord. In 1 John chapter 5, I guess I should turn there, and hopefully I'll be able to read. For some reason, my right eye is acting a little funny right now, and I'm kind of seeing fuzzy things, so you would pray for me that I can read and I don't make mistakes. But 1 John chapter 5, looking at verse 1 through 5, it says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Now we know Jesus Christ is the foundation that no man can lay. He is the foundation that the Christian life is to be built upon, starting with putting your faith and trust in his finished work, his death, burial, and resurrection. But it is our faith that helps us to overcome the world. It is our faith that helps us to keep following the Lord, helps us to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, helps us to even believe that the Lord will help us each and every day of our life to fulfill his will in our life. All right, but look back at verse 5, because he says, verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, "And beside this, giving all diligence." To give all diligence is to give a steady application in the business of any kind, to give a consistent or constant effort to accomplish what is undertaking, and to have the exertion of the body and mind without unnecessary delay or slothfulness. To be diligent is to be consistently and constantly using these building blocks as the Lord has given to us. Again, it is the Lord. Again, the Christian life is not to be lived outside of the will of God and outside of his strength, grace that he gives us, because he's the one that started the good work in us and he will finish it. But he wants us to yield ourselves and submit ourselves to the master builder. And who's the master builder? The Lord Jesus Christ. But it is our faith. Our faith is the foundation that we are to build our relationship with the Lord on, to build our life on, and to continue growing in these different areas that the Lord lists in these verses of 5 through 7. In verse number 5, he says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." Add to your faith virtue. Let me just encourage us tonight, never be content where you're at spiritually in your walk with the Lord. Always have a desire to grow and to move beyond the place that you're at, because the Lord always told his disciples, "Follow me, follow me." And even when he went to reconcile Peter back into a relationship there on the shores of Galilee, he finally says, after he says, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" He finally says, "Now follow me." And it is a consistent walk that we are to have with the Lord as he continues to work in our life, transforming us more and more into the image of Christ. So as our faith, we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We believe he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. We believe that he's always there for us. He will always help us. we are to add to that faith virtue. Look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1, because virtue is strength and courage. Strength and courage. And we are to add to our faith the strength and the courage of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. The Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The Lord says, add to your faith that strength and that courage, to add to your faith that boldness. Again, as Proverbs 28 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Proverbs 28 is talking about someone who is living in sin, someone who is doing something contrary to the ways of God, and they feel like they're going to get caught. They feel like someone's always watching them, someone's around the corner. You think about, just for an example, someone who, let's just say, robs a bank, someone who commits, you know, robbery, all right? And they seemingly get away from it. They're not caught at the scene, but they're always thinking, you know what, the police are going to be there. You know, every noise, every doorbell that they hear in their home, they're always looking because they did something that was a crime. You think about the child of God that is living and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and letting the Lord transform their life. They don't have that. They're not afraid. They are bold as lions. They are bold in the Lord because they're walking uprightly before the Lord. Not that we're perfect, all right, but we're allowing the Lord to work in our life. We're not purposely and knowingly living in sin and living contrary to the Lord, hoping the Lord doesn't see, hoping the Lord doesn't, you know, catch us, but we're bold. And we need to be strong and courageous in our convictions and our stand for what is right. Because look at Joshua chapter 1. God tells Joshua, as he becomes the next leader of Israel, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, God tells him, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So as we are growing in our faith and adding virtue to it, becoming stronger in our faith and more courageous in our faith, it's because we believe that God is with us wherever we go. And God says, be not afraid. We're not afraid of sudden fear. We're not afraid of the devil's tactics, what he might try to resist us and fight against us, because we know the Lord is on our side and God wants us. Again, God does things decently and in order. And he has systematically ordered these building blocks to spiritual stability in 2 Peter. It starts with our faith, but then he wants our faith to grow and to become stronger and to become more courageous in the Lord, trusting the Lord that he is going to be there for us. He's going to help us wherever we go. And as he tells Joshua, again, Joshua had the faith in the beginning when nobody else did. He's the one that tried to encourage the people. No, God's given us the land. God's given the giants to us. He says, basically, as bread, God will deliver them into our hands. So Joshua had the faith that God was going to deliver the promised land to them, like he said. And for 40 years, Joshua and Caleb had to wait. Sometimes we do have to wait, but it's never in vain when we're waiting on the Lord, because the Lord is always at work in our life. God is always strengthening us, encouraging us, and to help us to have the courage to stand up for what's right when everybody else around us may be crumbling, may not be standing up for what's right, may not be following the Lord, may not be trusting in the Lord anymore, but yet we as God's people continue to trust in the Lord and continue to be strengthened because our faith is in the one who bought the victory for us. He won the victory for us. If you look back here in 2 Peter, as we're building upon the faith that has been given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we add virtue. Then he says in verse 5, he says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. We're to add knowledge to our virtue. And virtue is to know, knowledge is to know the Lord. When you think back to Joshua, the Lord said, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. To know more about your God, not only the things he hates and loves, but to know more about his will for your life. To know more about his direction for your life. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's an amazing thing. The Christian life definitely is not boring. God did not create a boring life for you or me as we walk with the Lord. It is very interesting. There are blessings to be had along the way. And as we allow the Lord to work in our life, helping us to add these building blocks on a continual basis, right? Because again, you and I are the temple of God. We are the building of the Holy, or the building of the Holy Spirit, and God is doing a work in us. Just as you think about whenever you see a building being built, all right? I mean, there's this new Myers going up down in Lake Orion. You know, they've got the outside of the structure, they've got it up, they're working on the inside, but you know, as they laid those cylinder blocks, it was one on the other, and it kept going till they got to the height that they were told to build the height of the store. Just over and over and over again, they didn't substitute. They didn't, you know, pick some other material. They used what was needed to make the outside of that building strong, right? And these are things that God tells us to use in building our faith, to make our faith stronger, to make our resilience stronger for the Lord, to help us to be more stable in the Lord. You know what? In fact, before we even look at 1 Thessalonians, let's go back to one of my favorite verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 57 says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, therefore, because of the victory that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What labor? The labor that is mentioned in 2 Peter. The building of our faith, the adding to our faith, our life becoming more stable in Christ. Again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, hope you didn't lose your place there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, looking at verse 24, as we add knowledge to the virtue. All right, as we add the knowledge of the Lord with us to the virtue. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The Lord is the one that has called us and every believer into a relationship with him because he still wants to do a great work in our life. Remembering that God is with us and he will always help us. Psalm chapter 9 verse 10 says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. And what a wonderful blessing that is, and a promise that God has never forsaken one of his children that has sought after him. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Thinking again back to Joshua, only Joshua and Caleb. Out of all the people, only those two, not including the children, because the children were the ones that grew up in the wilderness in those 40 years, and they were allowed to go in because it was their parents, it was the older people at that time under the leadership of Moses that decided They were going to listen to the 10 spies that were lying and turning their hearts and minds away from the Lord. But at that time, the only two adults that trusted the Lord was Joshua and Caleb. And Psalm 9 speaks of them. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Joshua and Caleb, they didn't forget what God had done for them back in Egypt, how God brought them out of slavery with a mighty strong hand, and how God defeated the Egyptian army with the sea, with the Red Sea, and the eyes of God's people saw the destruction of their enemy. Joshua and Caleb, they never forgot what God did, and that is what helped them to continue trusting the Lord, even when they saw the giants. They saw the goodness of the land. They saw that what God said was true. They saw the giants, but they did not allow the giants to defeat their faith in their God, because they knew that their God, who they were trusting and who they were following, did not bring them there to destroy them, but to bless them. Again, we add knowledge to virtue because we know that God is on the side of his children. He's on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? God wants our faith to continue growing and being strengthened and becoming courageous in the Lord, and us knowing that God never fails. God has never failed me one time in my life. I'll admit, I have failed the Lord many times in my life. But I would be a liar to say that God has failed me. God has never failed me, and he has never failed one of his children. Now, looking back at 2 Peter chapter 1, now we add to knowledge. He says in verse number 6, and to knowledge temperance, adding temperance to what we already know of the Lord, and the Lord is always there for us. He's always there to help us. And that temperance speaks, obviously, of self-control. Controlling not only our emotions, but our thoughts and our actions. Not allowing ourselves to get ahead of the Lord in our actions, in our speech, even in our thoughts, but always trusting the Lord. Look at James chapter 3, and then we'll go back to Romans. But James chapter 3 and verse number 2. Adding temperance to what we know. Adding self-control. James chapter 3 and verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Again, James speaking of having self-control. And you read the book of James as he speaks about the tongue. How the tongue is unruly. And he even says, you know, who can tame the tongue? Who can control what they say? Because eventually, like Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But if we allow the Lord to have true control of us, if we allow the Lord to have control of our thoughts, our heart, and our speech, because honestly, we can't. We honestly can't control everything we say or do. Sometimes it just comes out because we get agitated, we get upset. Someone, we could say, you know, has pushed me over the edge. But God calls us to self-control, temperance, and that is relying upon him. That's relying upon the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 6. All right, he tells us to add temperance to the knowledge. Again, reminding us that God's always there to help us. God knows our struggles. He even knows, you know, the red button, that if someone pushes that red button, can't really see the red button. You know what the red button, the hot button is in your life, that if someone pushes that, you know, they have crossed the line. I'm going to say something. But God says, no, let God have that red button, because the devil always wants to try to push us over that line in our life. He always wants us to act and respond contrary to who God is and contrary to the Spirit of the Lord that's in us. Romans chapter 6, looking at verse number 12. Bible says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Again, nobody likes to be done wrong. We like to protect ourselves. We like to defend ourselves. But there are times where God wants us to have self-control that we do not say or we do not act towards somebody wrongly or unchristlike. Please let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I'm not talking about if somebody is mugging you, robbing you, wanting to take your life, that you just lay there and take it. But if someone is offensive to us, someone is trying to degrade us, we rely upon the Holy Spirit of God to help us to get through that situation. I can't tell you how many times, just as a Christian, even as a pastor, how someone has done or said something unchristlike to me, where yes, in the flesh, I wanted to say something back. I wanted to retaliate, but had to just leave it up to the Lord so that I did not lose my testimony. I did not lose the respect that somebody would have towards me as a pastor or even just as a Christian. Because the Bible does say that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. All right? God is a better avenger than you and I can ever be. Because we can avenge ourselves and only avenge ourselves on the surface, but God gets to the root of the matter. God gets to the heart of the matter. God can convict someone's heart. Again, the verse 12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." Look at Proverbs 16. And again, this is why temperance is not the first thing after faith, right? It's faith, it's virtue. Letting God help us to become strengthened in our faith, strengthened in our reliance upon the Lord, knowing that He's there to help us overcome the temptations that the devil will bring our way so that we will have the fruit of the Spirit and have that temperance, letting that temperance be stronger than the lust of the flesh, wanting to avenge itself, wanting to, you know, stand up for itself, letting the Lord do the work. In Proverbs 16 and verse 32. Proverbs 16, verse 32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Again, the spirit mentioned here in this verse is not talking about your spirit, but your emotions. Your emotions. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." We don't always have to speak what comes to our mind. We don't always have to speak what comes to our mind. We do not need to let our thoughts be filtered through the Word of God and through the character of Christ. Again, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Self-control, adding to the knowledge we know of the Lord, adding self-control. Going back to 1 Peter. Second Peter. And again, I just want to reiterate, it's not us doing it by ourselves. It's us submitting to the ways of God and letting the Holy Spirit of God help us to grow in these areas and to keep using these building blocks in our life. Again, so that, as it says in verse number 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, it is all about the Lord. We receive blessings and benefit from doing it God's way, but it is all about glorifying the Father. It's all about lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. So adding to temperance is patience. Patience. You can kind of see how these building blocks go together, because if we're learning self-control and relying upon the Holy Spirit to help us, then guess what? We're learning patience. We're learning to let God have His perfect way. Let the Lord help us not to respond in the flesh and not to let our flesh be in control, but to allow the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to be in control. And that patience speaks of perseverance, persevering whatever we may be facing, waiting on the Lord who will always do right. I'm glad that there is a judge that always does right, and it's the judge of the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. He always does right. Look back, if you would, at James chapter 5 and verse 7. James chapter 5 and verse 7. Speaking of adding patience, verse 7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain." Now, you want to talk about patience. The Lord has some unbelievable patience. As the Lord continues to tarry, because he's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. As the Lord is very patient with those that will blaspheme his name and those that will use his name as a curse word and those that will throw their fist up at God and say derogatory things and just even have the mindset, if there is a God, then he needs to show himself. He needs to prove himself to me. And yet the Lord's very patient. He just doesn't strike them dead. And he's very patient with his children because the Lord pities his children. The Bible talks about a father who pities their children, understands that sometimes, children do and say things they don't even understand why they said it or why they do it. They have to be corrected. They have to be, trained. They have to be loved. They have to be shown the right way. And our Heavenly Father, being the perfect Father, is patient with us. And he helps us to learn patience as we are learning that self-control. Look at Numbers chapter 14. Go back to the Old Testament, to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 38. And I'll be honest, we have to rely upon the Lord for patience. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 38. "But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still." Just that verse. Again, this is the 40 years. After the 40 years of God's punishment upon the nation of Israel, not because of something bad that Joshua and Caleb did, but because the people rebelled against God and wouldn't trust God and wouldn't go in the promised land. Because they believed the evil report. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We've got to be careful that we just don't believe everything, that we don't even believe everything that we think that's contrary to the truth of God. But Joshua and Caleb had to wait 40 years as God brought them back around to the promised land, back around to the entrance, giving them the ability to go in. Can I still believe that God shows the extremes in the Bible, waiting 40 years? And sometimes, we may have to wait, some time, maybe not 40 years, but always knowing that God is faithful in what he already promised. He promised to take them into Canaan. He promised to give them the land flowing with milk and honey. He promised to give them dwelling places that they did not build and vineyards they did not plant. But it took some time. And it reminds us, we can be patient and we can add patience to our temperance because we know who we're waiting on and we know who is doing the work. We're waiting on one who is always faithful, who always brings to pass what he says. He always fulfills his promises. We're not waiting on a man that can fail us, a man that can get, busy with their own life. We're waiting on God who has ordained our life, and he guides our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We're waiting on our Savior, and that's how our patience can become stronger, and we become more temperate in our daily walk with the Lord, because we're walking with Him, and it's the Spirit in us that we give ourselves to and that we rely upon to help us to live the Christ-like life. But adding that patience to our temperance and adding godliness to patience, because as we wait on the Lord, He's always working on us. He's always transforming us. He's always purging sin out of our life. He's always helping the fruit to be cultivated in our hearts and to be produced in our lives. So adding godliness to patience. Waiting time is never wasted time with God. Look at Titus chapter 2. Go back to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 through 14. I am just glad tonight that God is interested in our lives. He's interested in the lives of His people. He wants to be a part of our life. He wants to be an influence in our life, and He wants to be the one that transforms us into the image of Christ, helping us to grow in these areas, helping us to learn how to build with these building blocks so you and I and all of God's people become more stable in our spiritual lives. But adding godliness to patience. Verse 11 through 14 of Titus chapter 2, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts," anything that's contrary to the ways of the Lord, contrary to the teachings of Christ, because Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." All right, the things that He has taught us through His word, and worldly lusts, things that would draw us away from the Lord. Remember, Demas was a companion, he was a co-laborer with Paul. But at some point, Paul has to write, "Demas hath forsaken me, loving this present world." He went off to Thessalonica. He turned his back on the things that God wanted for him in his life because he thought the things of this world were much better than what God had in store for him. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope." Never lose sight of the one who's coming for you. He's off preparing a place for us. And as soon as the Father commands the archangel to sound the trumpet, He's returning in the sky, in the air, to catch up the bride, to catch up His church, to catch up His people, the born-again believers, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So God calls us to add godliness to our patience. And again, it is the Holy Spirit of God in us that we submit to, that does the work in us. But again, having to have that mindset that we allow the Lord to do His work in us, because He does not force it. He wants us to willingly lay down our life before Him and say, "Lord, have Your way with me." In Psalm chapter 11, if you'll go there, Psalm chapter 11. And believe me, sometimes, I understand, sometimes life does get tough. Sometimes we get to the point of wanting to give up. Sometimes we get to the point of even wanting to give up on God because we think God's not being fair. But God's always fair. Again, when we're tempted to give up on God, it's the accuser of the brethren, the devil, who is trying to convince us to give up on God, trying to convince us, "Well, you give up on God because He's already given up on you." No, that is not true. Because if we read God's word continually, we understand that God never gives up on us. Even when we have turned our back on the Lord, He still works to draw us back. He still works to magnify himself in our life so we see that he's the one that's worth following. He's the one that's worth allowing him to have full control of our lives as we do what he's asked us to do, as he gives us these building blocks to build upon our faith so our faith becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, and we become more and more and more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm chapter 11, looking at verse 1, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? And the psalmist is saying, David is saying, I have put my trust in the Lord. How in the world would I even listen even to myself saying, you know, flee to the mountain, you know, get away from what God is trying to do in your life? In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to a mountain, to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Yet the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. And that's why the psalmist is able to say, in the Lord put I my trust. No matter if my flesh becomes timid and my flesh wants to be afraid and my flesh wants to flee, yet we have to be resolved that, you know what, I'm going to patiently wait upon my faithful God and let God do what he wants to do in my life at this moment. Because again, every moment of our life is a moment that God wants to do something in our life. When you think about, again, the life of Job, God was not going to destroy Job's life. God did not hate Job. God used the adversity in Job's life for Job's blessing. And I know that, you know, often we can say, well, if God loved me, then why does he let all this bad stuff happen? Why do I have to go through the trials of life? Why does this happen? Why that? Because God loves us. It's not God's fault that there's sin in the world. It's not God's fault there's trouble, but he uses it for good. Remember, the devil came to God and tried to tempt God with taking away Job's stuff. And the Bible says that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. All right? God said he's in your hands, but God used it. See, the devil doesn't know. The devil's not all-knowing. The devil's not all-powerful. The devil is not equal to God. The devil thinks he's going to get his way, and God says, go ahead. Do what you want to do, but you can't touch Job. You can't take his life. So he goes, you know, he causes all his livestock to be stolen, causes his children to be killed, but God uses it, all right? God uses it to work in Job's life and to bless Job, and Job gets blessed in the end more than what he had in the beginning. I just want us to be reminded that we can trust the Lord, and that's why God puts these building blocks, that I'm calling them, in the order that he does, where our faith, if we have put our faith and trust in the one whom we have not seen, I did not see Jesus dying on the cross. I did not see him. I didn't see the empty tomb. I didn't see him when he ascended up back to the right hand of the Father as the disciples did. I didn't see any of that. But I've put my faith and trust like you in what Jesus has done, what I've heard that Jesus did for me. And if I can do that, if I can put my faith in someone I haven't seen yet, soon our faith will become sight when we see him face to face. But if I can put my faith in Jesus for my salvation, then I most certainly can put my faith in him every day of my life, in every situation of my life, for every detail of my life, and for every answer to my life. And God says, okay, you started with faith. Now let's add to that faith some virtue. And to that virtue, let's add some knowledge, and let's add some temperance, and let's add some patience as we are continuing to grow and to continue to be conformed more to the image of Christ, and adding godliness to that patience and brotherly kindness to godliness. He says, add to godliness brotherly kindness. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Rothbard, the Bible says, live peaceably with all men as much as lieth within you. Unfortunately, there are even Christians who at times will get offended by you, something you said, something you didn't say, something you didn't do. Some people are just easily offended, but God calls us to brotherly kindness, not to be easily offended. Jesus was not easily offended by those that rejected him. He was not easily offended by those that took advantage of him and followed him, you know, to be fed and to be healed. I mean, he knew, right? He said that he did not commit himself to man because he knew what was in man. He knew that some were just there to get what they could get, and they didn't really care about Jesus. They didn't really want to give their life to the Lord, but he knew those that were there who really did believe on him and wanted to be with him and wanted to walk with him. But this brotherly kindness, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, always being ready to forgive someone that maybe offends you, someone that does something, because Jesus always forgave. Or he's the greatest example. He's the one that, hanging on the cross, says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's the one that helps us. Even Stephen, being stoned, taking his last breath, crying out, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Again, the Lord says, add brotherly kindness to godliness. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We always have to have those words mentally highlighted, underlined, circled in our minds, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. God calls us to forgive because we have been forgiven. He calls us to be tender-hearted towards others, especially if you know that they're not saved. Then you definitely don't want to be the excuse that they use. And sometimes people will use other people as their excuse why they do or don't do something. But we definitely don't want to give anybody the excuse to use us as a reason for not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to give them that ammunition, even though they may still say it, yet we have that pure conscience that we did not act contrary to godliness. We showed brotherly kindness. We showed forgiveness, even maybe when forgiveness was not even really necessary, where forgiveness was not even in our minds, you know, worthy to give to them, yet the Lord says, remember, we've been forgiven because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, adding charity to brotherly kindness. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. He says in verse 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And that charity in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, so go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, speaks of that unconditional, sacrificial love. That unconditional, sacrificial love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, looking at verses 4 through 8. The Bible says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Again, the beginning of that verse, charity never faileth. And it's the last building block that is mentioned in adding to our faith. Again, building according to God's plan. God's given us the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, okay, build upon that faith, adding virtue to your faith, and to your virtue knowledge, and to the knowledge temperance, to the temperance patience, to the patience godliness, to the godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. None of it is possible without the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ that helps us, because it's His Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit, that helps us to become who God wants us to be. Helps us in these areas. And as we get, again, as you put these building blocks together, they start right back over faith. Because when you get to the point of having that pure charity, that charity of unconditional love and sacrificial love, man, your faith just continues to grow and you keep building upon that. There's no limit to what God can do in your life and through your life. There's no limit to where God can help you, where maybe you're failing or maybe you're kind of lagging behind, because it is the Spirit of God that helps us to accomplish what God wants to in our life. And God, honestly, cares more about the building project in our life than sometimes we do. Because when we start trying to do it in our strength and we start looking around and think, well, you know, they're not doing it, why should I? God reminds us, again, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you to help you and I to live the life He wants us to live, to have the blessings that He wants us to have.